While the New York Mets continue their easy schedule to start the season, the Los Angeles Dodgers have another tough test. Let's talk about it. Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk. We are going to get to a couple of series this weekend to look forward to. So it's not the greatest weekend as far as weekend series, but there are a couple of them that we're going to highlight and talk about, including another tough early test for Major League Baseball's favorite team, the Los Angeles Dodgers. But if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode goes live. If you're listening on audio, give us a five-star rating. Share the show with your friends. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. And check out the First Pitch newsletter. Today's issue is live. Link for the newsletter is in the description. It is free to subscribe and receive that newsletter in your inbox every single morning, though we do appreciate any and all paid subscribers as they help keep the bills on around here. I'm your host, Troy Brock. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. He's Drew Crabtree. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Drew Crabtree 12. And yeah, it's going to be a fun show today and heading into the weekend. And how you doing today, Drew?
You know, it's Friday. It's Friday up here in beautiful Toledo, Ohio. We're supposed to have some nice weather. I have to work all day, so that's always how it works. But it's, you know, life is good. Had a sleeping toddler on me this morning, and she sure does love her cuddles.
Hey, it never ends. My 6-year-old still loves his cuddles, so
go ahead. Who my daughter's parents are, she's going to be cuddly for a while. But the best thing about it is that she can sit down and watch baseball with me. Like, we have her in her little baby jail, and she will sit on her little couch in there, and she will watch baseball with me, and she will not complain. So it's great. We're getting her started early. We don't have to watch Miss Rachel or Bluey reruns. We choose to do that because we like them. But she likes baseball, and she can recognize when Ellie De La Cruz is up to bat as well. It's great.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. I don't even think my son ever even liked Bluey. I think my wife and I liked Bluey more than he did, because Bluey's great, man.
It is.
But yeah, this is not the children television podcast. This is the Major League Baseball podcast. And there was a good 10 games on yesterday, and I watched a handful of them. I watched a lot of baseball yesterday, Drew. I don't know if you'll notice from my Twitter or not, but I watched a lot of baseball. And the day started with the Diamondbacks and the Marlins. Diamondbacks take that one 6-4. They are now 12-7, while the Marlins fall to 8-10. AJ Puck got his fourth save of the year in that one. Nationals at the Pirates. Pirates shut out the Nationals 1-0. Both teams got 5 hits. So kind of wish I would have watched that one. That seems like a fun pitching duel there between Andrew Haney and Luke Williams. And then the Nationals fall to 7-12, while the Pirates move to 8-12. Mariners at the Reds. I did watch a lot of this game, and this was a fun back and forth game. Mariners did wind up winning in extras 11-7. They are now 10-9, while the Reds are 9-10. Thoughts on that one, Drew?
I imagine it was a fun game to watch as a non-interested party. It was objectively a crazy game. Brady Singer didn't get his, 15 runs of run support like he has the last couple of games. But the most frustrating part of this game was Jake Fraley came up in the bottom of the eighth, bases loaded, and smacked a no-doubter grand slam to take the lead. The Reds went into the top of the ninth with a 2-run lead, and you can see the score. They lost by 4. Emilio Pagan, who has given up 1 run via a solo shot earlier this year, gave up back-to-back solo shots to tie the game, and then Graham Ashcraft gave up 4 runs in the top of the 10th, obviously predicated off of that ghost runner. Right now, there's a lot of reasons for optimism for this Reds team, but there's a lot of reasons to sit back and say, what are we doing? They're a fundamentally unsound team right now between base running and mistakes on the field. They had 4 errors last night. it wasn't great. Props to Seattle. They're a pretty good team, but they got them these last two games. The Reds need to figure it out, because this next stretch is a very, very winnable stretch. And losing 2 of 3 against teams that are hovering around 500 are not going to help you when you need to catch ground on the Cubbies, or anybody else for that matter.
Yeah. And there's a couple of at-bats I kind of want to key in on that one before we move on to the rest of the games yesterday. And it's Ellie De La Cruz's last two at-bats, or at least his at-bats in the 7th or 8th and then the 9th. In the first of those two, he struck out looking on a fastball right down the middle. Like, there, it was center cut. They're like, even if the box on TV is incorrect, it was still right down the middle of the plate. And then on the second of the two, he struck out looking on another fastball, which was down the middle, but it was just above the knees. And I don't know if this is an early season thing with Ellie De La Cruz or what it is, but or if he was looking for something else to hit and just was not expecting a fastball in that situation, in either situation. But you're the best hitter on the team. You have to be ready to swing, especially with two strikes, and especially if the ball is over the center of the plate.
Yeah, that first one, I think, was in the 7th inning. Bases were loaded, 2 outs. It was a 1-2 count. And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt in this and say that he was looking for something off speed. However, if you are gifted with a four-seamer down the middle in your wheelhouse when you're batting left-handed, which is his strength, you got to send that bad boy to Kentucky. Like, with his torpedo bat and, well, with his normal power as it is, that should have been a souvenir. But no, he stared at it. Thankfully, Jake Fraley, the next inning, bailed him out. But yeah, I think it was in the bottom of the 9th where he got locked up by Casey Legomina, who is one of the Reds relievers of all time. you definitely have to do better. I try not to be one of the overly critical individuals of Ellie De La Cruz, because there are a number of people within the Reds fan base who are very critical because he's not, you know, Jesus and Pete Rose mixed together. But you gotta do better. Same thing with the fielding. You know, you make so many spectacular plays that you can't boot those easy ones. That's the thing. Terry Francona said he's going to come in and try to make Ellie De La Cruz the best player in baseball with holding him accountable and everything like that. And obviously we don't see the behind the scenes stuff. So I'm hoping he's tearing into him and being like, dude, you gotta buckle down.
Yeah, for sure. And I will say, in Ellie's defense, I said that second pitch was above the knees. It was at the knees. It was still a strike by letter of the law. It was still a strike, but it was more below the zone than it was in the zone. So a little bit of a reprieve there for him on that one.
When you're 7 feet tall, I imagine those look low.
Right. Yeah, I texted you about that yesterday. I always forget how tall Ellie De La Cruz is until I see him play again. And you said, especially when he's standing next to 5'9", Matt McClain, I'm like, hey, I'm 5'9", because I'm short. Athletics at the White Sox. Athletics shut out the White Sox 8-0. J.P. Sears gets the win. Davis Martin takes the loss. Athletics move to 9-10. White Sox fall 4-14. Giants at the Phillies. Phillies get the series split with a 6-4 victory. Christopher Sanchez proves that he is, in fact, an ace. He gets the win, moves to 2-0 with a 2.96 ERA. Jordan Hicks falls to 1-2 with a 6.04 ERA. Jordan Hicks gave up 5 runs in the first inning and pitched 7 innings. So, yeah. Jose Alvarado picked up the save there. And the Phillies move to 11-8. Giants fall to 13-6. Guardians at the Orioles. Orioles take that one 6-2. They are now 8-10, while the Guardians are 9-9. Tomoyuki Sugano is 2-1 with a 3.43 ERA. And if you'd have told me at the beginning of the season that Tomoyuki Sugano would have been the Baltimore Orioles' best pitcher so far this year, I would have called you a liar. Tanner Bibee got the L. He's 1-2 with a 5.85 ERA. Royals at the Tigres. Tigres win that one 6-1. They are now 11-8, leading the American League Central by a good margin. And the Royals fall to 8-12. Our boy Michael Lorenzen got the L. He's 1-3 with a 4.57 ERA. Yankees at the Rays. Yankees win that one 6-3. Yankees are now 12-7. Rays fall to 8-11. Devin Williams picks up his fourth save of the year. Taj Bradley got a little beaten and battered. He's now 2-1 with a 5.24 ERA. Don't give up on Taj Bradley. Cardinals at the Mets. Mets take that one 4-1. Another easy game in their schedule. They are now 12-7, while the Cardinals fall to 9-10. Griffin Canning got the win, 2-1, 3.43 ERA. Palante got the loss, 2-1, 3.22 ERA. And Edwin Diaz picked up the save, his fourth of the year. Texas Rangers hosting the Angels. They win that one 5-3. Rangers move to 12-7. Angels fall to 9-9. Kumar Rocker got the win, his first of the year. He is now 1-2 with a 6.38 ERA. And I don't remember his first name, Kohanowitz, got the loss, 1-2 with a 6.2 ERA. And Garcia gets his first save of the year. Any final thoughts on those games from yesterday, Drusa, before we move ahead and talk about the series we have to look forward to this weekend?
Not really. I mean, good for the Phillies for splitting that and getting back on track. But I'm ready for a full slate of games here on Friday.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and it's great because it's a Friday, and we're not going to look at all the games yet. We're going to talk about a couple of the series. I know I sound like I'm coming to the close of the show here, but it's great because it's a Friday, and there is day baseball on a Friday because the Chicago Cubs are playing at home. So we get day baseball on a Friday, which is fantastic. But no, there's a few series here to look forward to this weekend that are pretty exciting outside of mostly mid series. There's really no exciting divisional matchup to speak on. It's really just intra-divisional matchups and some the Marlins and the Phillies look like, Royals and the Tigers are divisional matchups, Yankees and Rays, but those aren't really exciting other than some of the pitching matchups, like Sandy Alcantara pitching for the Marlins today against Zach Wheeler. But two of the series that we do need to talk about and kind of key in on that are going to be exciting, the first of which is the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Chicago Cubs. These teams enter the weekend with each having 12 wins. The Diamondbacks have 7 losses, while the Cubs have 9 losses. And, you know, the pitching matchup is pretty solid throughout the weekend as well on paper, outside of the small sample size this year, because today you have Corbin Burnes at Colin Ray. Tomorrow you have Zach Gallen at Finn Brown. And then on Sunday you have Merrill Kelly at Jameson Taillon. So this is a pretty exciting series for this weekend, right, Drew?
I would say so. You've got the best team in the NL Central in the Cubs sitting at 12-9, and you have the fourth best team in the NL West sitting at 12-7 facing off here. These are definitely two teams that have postseason aspirations, and I'm definitely looking forward to how these teams rebound. If I remember correctly, the Cubs, they lost their last one. The Cubs have cooled off a little bit. They're 5-5 in their last 10, whereas the Diamondbacks are 7-3 in their last 10, which is among the best. I think the only better one is 8-2, which is obviously the Padres, because they just don't lose baseball games this year. We'll be interested to see if they will cool off at all. But the Cubs right now, they're not pulling away. Obviously, you can see the standings that they're all within 3.5 games right now. The Pittsburgh Pirates are at the bottom at 8-12, 3.5 back. And the Cubbies aren't pulling away right now. This is a prime example, or prime opportunity, I should say, for Chicago to, one, beat up on a team that is kind of like them in the sense that they're both looking for the playoffs and both looking good. But also they need to be able to pull away, because the Brewers are right there. They're only a game back.
Yeah, it's a matchup between two postseason teams, and yeah, I agree. The Cubs need to get back on track and get back to their winning ways we saw from them last week. And you know, we talked about it last week that this is going to be a tough stretch for the Chicago Cubs with the Padres, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, and the Phillies. The Dodgers twice in two different series, and the Phillies. And it so far it has played that way. They won their first series against the Dodgers last weekend, and then they dropped the series against the Padres, which, like as you said, that doesn't look like the Padres are going to be losing many baseball games this year, to this point at least. And you know, they kind of get a little bit of a reprieve. I'd say the Diamondbacks are the worst of the four teams in that tough stretch of ball games that we talked about, tough stretch of series. But they're still not a bad team. They're still going to be a playoff contender, and it's going to be crazy because the way that it's looked so far, the National League East might not have three teams in the playoffs this year with how things have played out to this point. The National League West might have four teams in the playoffs, the division winner, and then all three of the wild cards, while the National League East only has the Philadelphia Phillies representing as the division winner when it's all said and done. But it's this series is going to be fantastic. Pitching, hitting, both of these teams are really good in just about every facet of the game. There's the star power, of course, on the mound for Arizona. Corbin Burnes, the big ticket pitcher from the offseason, and then Corbin Carroll in the outfield for the Diamondbacks, then Kyle Tucker in the outfield for the Chicago Cubs. And they play good defense. They hit well. They pitch well. It's just these are really two, while they're not, I wouldn't call them legitimate World Series contenders, they're two pretty complete teams that are legitimate playoff contenders.
I agree. It's going to be fun. The Cubs are who I'm looking to win this division. And if, I mean, just like you said, they've got the stretch after this is incredibly tough. So they need a 2 out of 3 decision or even a sweep to make it as easy as possible. Or let's say that to tread water over the remainder of this month and gets a little bit of leeway between them and the Brewers, who have the A's, and the Reds, who have the Orioles. The Cardinals have the Mets, so that job should be taken care of. But no, this series, as well as the next one, are going to be some must-watch TV.
Yes, 100%. Because, yeah, these two teams, while this isn't necessarily a National League Championship Series preview, this could be an NLDS preview, or at the very least a wild card preview between these two teams, because I fully expect the Cubs to win the division and the Diamondbacks to be right there in the thick of the playoff race. And then, you know, we have the other matchup of the weekend to watch, and its pitching matchups are just fantastic, man. And it is a potential World Series preview with the Los Angeles Dodgers having another tough test early in the season against the Texas Rangers. And this game, you know, this series last year would not have been that exciting because the Rangers just struggled all year last year, finished below 500 because of Bruce Bochy's every other year magic. That is just, he's good every other year as his teams are good every other year. And this year seems to be the year of every other year, the good year. And, you know, this first matchup tonight, it's Yoshinobu Yamamoto at Jacob DeGrom. And then tomorrow, it doesn't fall off much. It's Roky Sasaki at Nathan Eovaldi. And then Sunday, you've got Tyler Glasnow at Tyler Molly. So it's just each of these teams' rotations lined up perfectly to where it's one versus one, two versus two, three versus three this weekend. And, you know, of course, with the Dodgers, Friday is Yoshinobu Yamamoto's day and Saturday is Roky Sasaki's day, which is something we kind of need to talk about at some point. I've been thinking about that the past few days. We might talk about that next week. But it worked out perfectly where you're going to get Jacob DeGrom, Nathan Eovaldi, and Tyler Molly for the Rangers. And just forgetting about the offenses alone, forgetting about the offenses on either side, how fantastic is this pitching matchup going to be this weekend between these two teams?
If you like great pitchers, you're going to love this series just in general. And I do love great pitchers because while 10 to 9 or 11 to 7 games are a lot of fun because, you know, there are hits left and right, runs scored. You never know who's going to win. And then a grand slam doesn't even freaking matter. These pitching matchups are awesome. And I want to talk a little bit about my guy, Tyler Molly. Because you know, he was a red from he was in the majors from 2017 through 2021, and then the Reds shipped him off to Minnesota, and he was a decent starter for the longest time. He was probably just slightly above average, if that. There were times that he was great, and there were times that he was dog water. Like his best season was 2021. He had almost 5 WAR as a pitcher, and I'm honestly, I love seeing him do well in, you know, 4 starts. He's got a 0.92 ERA and 21 strikeouts. I'm not super surprised that this is Tyler Molly, because if memory serves, back when he was in Double A, he threw a perfect game for Pensacola. It was April 22nd of 2017. Tyler Molly threw a perfect game in the minors. So obviously the Los Angeles Dodgers lineup is a little bit different than what he faced then. And I'm definitely not saying he's going to throw a perfect game on Sunday, but that'd be awesome. Hey man, good for him. I like seeing, these guys that the Reds decide to trade away because they refuse to pay people. I don't think they're going to pay Tyler Molly. But I love seeing that.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, looking at just the ERAs from every pitcher in this matchup, Tyler Molly has the lowest ERA, mm-hmm. has the best ERA to this point in the season with a 0.92 ERA. And so it's just across the board, this pitching matchup is fantastic. DeGrom hasn't been at the same DeGrom level you expect from him at this point in the season, but I do still expect him to step his game up against the Los Angeles Dodgers and have a good showing in tonight's game. And this is going to be one. When do the Phillies play? They play at 5:45 my time. I hope they're done by 7:05 because I'm going to be flipping over to the Dodgers and Rangers because that's a must-watch game and a most must-watch pitching matchup between Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Jacob DeGrom. And then, of course, on the offensive side, not to be left out, obviously, everyone knows what star power the Dodgers have on the offense. But then, of course, the Texas Rangers have star power in their own right. You know, they have former Los Angeles Dodger Corey Seager. They have Marcus Semien playing second. They have Adolis Garcia, who seems to have bounced back from his troubles last year. And in the outfield, they have Jake Berger doing Jake Berger things. And he's surprisingly one of the better hitters in baseball. And it's just both sides are just chock full of star power, and it's a must watch series because of it.
It really is. If Adolis Garcia never plays the Cincinnati Reds again, it would be too soon because he destroyed them when they faced off. I think everybody's rooting for the Rangers because of that weird on off magic, because you know Bruce Bochy, it was the even years in San Francisco, but evidently when he's with the Rangers, it's going to be the odd years. So watch out for the Rangers to win it all again, or at least make it there. I love it. This lineup, while you know you went through it, it doesn't look like it's the world beaters that are the, you know, the New York Yankees and the Dodgers, but they're all very solid. I think my child just fell. I just heard a thud. But no, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be a great series. This is the one awesome thing about, standardized schedules and everybody playing everybody. that you're going to get these great matchups that you wouldn't otherwise see. Because while it's fun beating up on the Rockies for 35 games, I do want to see the Dodgers go out and face some of the AL's best, just for the fun of it. You know, even if it's just for the three games or whatever. This is gonna be a lot of fun. It's gonna be a fun juxtaposition between this rotation and both of these lineups. Who can, you know, explode?
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, kind of leading into talking about this series, it realistically could be a World Series preview, because as things stand right now, and of course the team with the best record doesn't always make World Series, blah blah blah. But as things stand right now, the Rangers are tied with the New York Yankees for the best record in the American League at 12-7. And the Yankees, you don't expect them to keep up with their pace throughout the whole season, because their offense is Aaron Judge and the boys, and then their pitching staff is depleted, and it's Max Fried and the boys. But the Rangers, you can realistically expect to keep up what they're doing the rest of the season. And it's just going to be a fantastic series. I also would like to point out as an aside that if the Philadelphia Phillies would have made the World Series in 2023 instead of Craig Kimbrel blowing those games, Texas Rangers wouldn't have won the World Series, but that's a different story for a different day. But
if and butts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas, my friend. If Scott Rowland didn't let that ground ball go through his legs, if Doc Holliday didn't throw a freaking no-hitter, if.
You have a point, Drew. It's a hell of a series. There's really just not enough gushing I can do about how exciting this series is, and it is one of the two best series of the weekend, and I would say it is the better of those two because of the star power that is on both sides and the immense amount of star power on both sides, as well as the pitching matchup, as well as it being a potential World Series preview. But do you have any final thoughts on these two series, Drew?
Probably not on the series, but it's I'm going to hijack the stream for a second. Shout out to former Dodger. He was a Dodger 17th round pick in the 1979 draft, Oral Hershiser. Shout out to him. He is going to be the Bowling Green State University commencement speaker, which is a fantastic choice. He went to Bowling Green back in the day. He's a Cy Young winner, three-time All-Star, World Series champion, Gold Glove, Silver Slugger as a pitcher, which is always hilarious. I love seeing those. He played 18 years in the majors and retired after 2000. He played for the Dodgers, the then Indians, the Giants, and the Mets. Massive shout out to him. But then a segue into that. We live in a really dumb time, personally, and I want to choose my words very carefully, because we are trying, it seems, to minimize the impact of folks who don't look like you and I. And you saw it with what the folks in power, we'll just go with that, trying to erase Jackie Robinson's impact on the Dodgers and within the military. But there's a small town close to where I'm from. It's called Alger. It has a population of maybe 1,000. I'm not sure, honestly. But there was a Major League Baseball and a Negro League baseball player from there. He was born there. Named Ray Brown. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Triple Crown winner. He was a two-time All-Star, two-time World Series, two-time ERA title winner. You look at his baseball reference page, and there's bold all over the place because he was just that good. Alger is deciding to rescind their decision to name one of their parks after him, which I find the dumbest thing in... I mean, it's Alger, so that's a high bar to clear, but one of the dumbest things that Alger is going to do. You have one of the best baseball players to play the game. He's a Hall of Famer, and he's from your tiny little town. There's no reason to even consider rescinding naming anything after him. If somebody is from my hometown that ends up as one of the greatest, I would want his name or her name plastered everywhere. My hometown, we've got Lee Tressel, who was the father of, you know, Jim Tressel, Ohio State coach legend, and now lieutenant governor of Ohio. There's not much going on in rural Ohio. There's definitely not much going on in Alger, Ohio. And to me, this is one of the dumbest things that I've seen, but it kind of tracks with how everything is going right now. Baseball is one of the greatest things that the United States has given the world. It has become a worldwide phenomenon. It has always been a worldwide phenomenon. You have all the Latin countries that are fantastic at it. You have the East Asian countries that are fantastic at it. You saw the Japanese opening series. They go nuts over this stuff. I think that celebrating the accomplishments of folks who were not given the opportunity that some of us would have is great. And naming something as small as naming the park after a Hall of Famer is legitimately the least that they can do. And it bugs the ever-living crap out of me that folks who get a sunburn while thinking about the sun on a winter day are making these decisions. And it is honestly disgusting. It's the dumbest thing in the world. If my ancestor, I think I'm related to a former MLB player. I think his name was Ethel Crabtree. He's from Southeast Ohio, where the majority of my family moved over from Baltimore, from England. If they decided to take his name off of something, I would be pretty angry about it. But he was blessed with a lack of melanin. So that's my soapbox for the day. it's just dumb. You have a reason for pride in your tiny little town, and you are trying to get rid of it. And I know this doesn't apply to 99.999% of our listeners, because I'm willing to bet very few people from Ohio, let alone Alger, Ohio, are listening to this. But they should, and they should subscribe. But yeah, that's my little diatribe. I'll get off my soapbox now.
Yeah, it's not great. They definitely need to recognize their greats that come from their town, because it's regardless of situation. But it's not a great going on situation up there in Alger, and hopefully they'll come to their senses. But something that is great, and I kind of touched on it earlier, we have day baseball, Drew, because the Chicago Cubs are at home. And at 2:20 p.m. Eastern, the Arizona Diamondbacks at the Chicago Cubs series, one of the series to watch this weekend, kicks off. Wrong sport. Diamondbacks look to move to 13-7, while the Cubs look to move to 13-9. Corbin Burns at Colin Ray. 4 hours later, the Kansas City Royals at the Detroit Tigers. Cole Reagans at Jackson Jobe. Royals look to move to 9-12, while the Tigers look to move to 12-8. 6:40 p.m. Eastern as well. Guardians at the Pirates. Luis L. Ortiz at Mladzinski. Pirates look to move to 9-12. Guardians look to move to 10-9. 6:45 p.m. Eastern. And I said I hope the Phillies game is over so I can flip to the Dodgers-Rangers game. I completely forgot the fact that I'm blacked out of the Marlins series. So it doesn't matter. I can watch the Dodgers-Rangers anyway. That one's
the 70s.
Right, yeah. Marlins at the Phillies at 6:45 p.m. Eastern. Sandy Alcantara at Zach Wheeler. Marlins look to move to 9-10. Phillies look to move to 12-8. And the Phillies have had trouble with the Marlins for quite some time now, despite how bad the Marlins have been for quite some time now. 7:05 p.m. Eastern. Reds at the Orioles. Andrew Abbott at Cade Povich. Reds look to move back to 500 at 10-10. Orioles look to move to 9-10. Drew, how's this game going to go?
Hopefully the Reds win. Hopefully the Reds win today, tomorrow, Sunday, and continue to win until they hoist the World Series trophy. But no, I think this is a good series. This could be a good I say get right. It's not like the Orioles are terrible. A good get right series for the Reds because of who they have throwing. They've got Hunter Abbott, Andrew Abbott tonight. They got Hunter Green deserves better tomorrow. And then they got Nick Lodolo on Sunday. If the Reds are going to get right and take 2 of 3 sweep, it's going to be off the backs of their and Abbott can be, 3 of their best pitchers. Their bullpen has been taxed recently. I think last night it was like 24 and a third or something like that over the stretch of the series, or the stretch of the week or so. One of my writers at Athlon Sports wrote about it. You should check it out. Mason Smaller. He's really good. This is a good series for the Reds, especially how the chips fall when it comes to the pitching matchup. Now, of course, the lineup needs to figure it out because the Mariners threw a guy that they had to call up that had an 80 ERA, and he shut him down. And the Reds are facing the dreaded TBD on Saturday. So they can win. Will they win? We will find out. But welcome to Cincinnati, Austin Hayes. That's all I got to say about that. 10 war season incoming. Let's go.
Yeah, he's had a fantastic couple of games. Excuse me. Hold on.
So is Gavin Lux. Some of their bargain bin signings have actually worked out pretty well to this point. Gavin Lux got, 4 hits in that first game against Seattle, and then obviously Austin Hayes hits a 3-run shot and then I think a 2-run shot over the last couple of days. Very happy with that. And obviously Jose Trevino has been really good. So Nick Kroll might have been in his bag for this, but, you know, small sample size. I'm not going to give him too much credit.
Yeah. It's crazy what Austin Hayes has been able to do in the small sample size in Cincinnati there to this point. But also at 7:05 p.m. Eastern, the New York Yankees at the Tampa Bay Rays. Carlos Rodon at Drew Rasmussen. Yankees look to move to 13-7, while the Rays look to move to 9-11. 2 minutes later, the Mariners at the Blue Jays. Mariners look to move to 11-9. Blue Jays look to move to 12-8. 3 minutes later, Cardinals at the Mets. Cardinals look to move to 500 at 10-10. Mets look to move to 13-7, and they've got a good chance of it with Miles Michaelis on the mound. 7:10 p.m. Eastern, White Sox at the Red Sox. White Sox look to move to 5-14. Red Sox look to move above 500 to 11-10, but they've got to do it while throwing the dreaded TBD. 7:15 p.m. Eastern, Twins at the Braves. Twins look to move to 8-12. Braves look to move to 6-13, and they do not have a good chance of it with Bryce Elder on the mound. My, oh my. 8:05 p.m. Eastern, Dodgers at the Rangers. I will be watching this game. Yoshinobu Yamamoto at Jacob DeGrom. Dodgers look to move to 15-6, while the Rangers look to move to 13-7. 5 minutes later, Padres at the Astros. Padres look to move to 16-4, while the Astros look to move to 9-10. Also at 8:10, the Athletics at the Brewers. Athletics look to move to 500 at 9-10, and the Brewers look to move another game above 500 to 11-9. 30 minutes later, Nationals at the Rockies. Nationals throwing Mackenzie Gore in Colorado, and this is another one. I know we didn't talk about it because it's the Nationals and the Rockies, but don't sleep on the Nationals. But I am excited to watch James Wood at Coors Field. With the power stroke that he has finally found, it's going to be that's going to be fun watching James Wood out there at Coors Field. But Nationals look to move to 8-12, while the Rockies continue to bring up the rear of all of baseball at 3-15. 9:38 p.m. Eastern, Giants at the Angels. Giants look to move to 14-6, while the Angels look to move to 10-9. Any final thoughts on these games today or any games this weekend, Drusif?
I enjoy watching baseball, Troy. I'm joking. Well, not really, but so I am, other than obviously the Reds and Orioles, I think that's going to be a sneaky good series. This Brewers and Athletics series, I think, can be fun. The Brewers are in this weird limbo of they're not rebuilding, but I don't know if they're going for it right now. You know, 10-9. Obviously, that's a banner year right now for the Reds, so I don't have too much to say on that. But the Athletics are 9-10, and they are not one of the teams that are actively trying to win. They're just seeing what they've got in their youth. But the pitching matchup tonight, Ginn is 1-0. He's got 169 ERA. And then obviously Freddie Peralta, 1-1, 2.31 ERA. That's going to be a fun series to watch because the Brewers are going to be one of those teams that you just can't count out. They're going to be annoying. That's just what the Brewers do. And with the, you know, the Cubbies not taking advantage of how bad the division is, the Brewers can end up winning the division just by existing, which is super annoying. That's the role that the Cardinals used to play. And right now the Cardinals are not trying to win baseball games, which is nice for me because I have, you know, it's a generational dislike of the St. Louis Cardinals. Pujols. But Brewers Athletic Series, that'll be one to watch, I think.
If gun to your head, are you taking Albert Pujols or Joey Votto?
Don't do this to me. I'm taking Votto. I'm taking Votto all day. I don't care. He gets on base. Yes, Albert Pujols was the better baseball player. I don't care. I love Joey Votto. Don't do this to me, Troy.
Yeah, Joe, both of them were great in their own right. There's no denying that.
They definitely had their strengths. Pujols, his strength was kicking the ever-loving crap out of the Reds and hitting bombs. And Votto's strength was being awesome as a human being and walking a lot and getting on base. Yeah, don't do this to me. That's mean. That's just mean.
I think that we would also be remiss if we got out of here on Good Friday without mentioning that on Sunday, Jesus Lizard himself is pitching on Easter Sunday. And, you know, hopefully his ERA won't be risen after that game.
If you're going to place a bet on a miracle happening and saying that Jesus Lizard's going to throw a no-hitter or anything like that, you might as well throw a couple bucks to it because the stars are aligning and all the crazy stuff is happening. The fact that Jesus Lizard is going to be pitching on Easter, the Jesus Lizard himself, that is the funniest thing. The only thing we need people with named like Angel and so on. Hey, bring Angel Hernandez out of retirement to call that game. There you go.
No, please no. But yes, Jesus Lizard himself will be pitching Sunday. I will be keeping a close eye on it just without watching it on TV legally. Jesus Lizard has risen. It is going to be a great weekend. Hopefully y'all enjoyed the show today. This one went a little bit off the rails, but it was fun. We had some fun. It's been a good week. We look forward to having another good week with y'all next week. Also, update on the newsletter. No more weekend newsletters. I'm too old for that. So sorry about it. Only Monday through Friday going forward. And there will be no pod next Friday. I was going to wait and let y'all know next week, but there will be no podcast next Friday. Drew and I both will be out of town doing different things. So no podcast next Friday. But thank you for joining us on the podcast on this Friday. And if you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so that Drew's daughter can eat. And because the more subs we get, the more she gets to eat. Those little puffs are expensive, man. It's been a few years and inflation's only gotten worse, so those puffs are expensive. But if you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of off the rails baseball talk. Do check out the newsletter. Link for that is in the description. It is free to subscribe and receive that bad boy in your email inbox every single morning, except for on the weekends. But we do accept any and all paid subscribers as they help keep the bills on around here, as well as feeding Drew's daughter. Thank you for joining us today. He's been Drew. I've been Troy. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.